In the first reading, we still see the outworking of that miraculous healing of that lame man who used to sit at the beautiful gate every day, begging. And now he's walking, he's jumping, he's singing. As the crippled man who had been cured clung to Peter and John, all the people hurried in amazement toward them in a place called Solomon's Portico. And so Peter gives a speech. Why are you amazed at this? Why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by our own power or our own piety? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence. And so now the plan of our Lord Jesus is beginning to work out. Peter and John walked into the temple. If you ever go over there, the beautiful gate is the one you see. It faces east so that the sun will come. Now it's all bricked up, but if the temple were there, that would be where the sun would be coming. Anyway, well, everybody knew this man. He begged every day at the main entrance to the temple. So to see him jumping and skipping and singing, you know, that's pretty important. Well, the only guys around were Peter and John, so they must have some kind of, you know. And Peter says, you don't get it at all. We have nothing. Jesus Christ raised this man. And now you see the plan, see signs and wonders. Now you can preach. Tell him, who is it who healed this man? He goes on with his speech, as they all are right now in this part of Acts. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, and that the Lord may grant you times of refreshment and send you the Christ already appointed for you, the Messiah, the Christos. Send you the Messiah already appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of universal restoration. I wish I had a nickel for every gallon of ink that's been spilled trying to figure out what that means. But it seems to mean when he comes back, the whole universe is going to be transformed. It'll be radiant like his own body. And so will we. And so, then we have the second of the two appearances of Jesus in Luke. You see, the two who came back from Emmaus, you see, they're saying, this is what happened to us. And while they're talking, Jesus comes and stands right in their midst. Do you see the love he has for these people? That's the love he has for us. He's going to come and stand right here, bread and wine, right here, in a little while, to bless us, to give us a share in the joy he has with the Father, risen from the dead. You see? Why are you troubled? I mean, look, my hands, my feet, I mean, I'm Jesus. And I never denied that I passed your way and that I received from you these wounds that I will carry for all eternity as a sign of my love for you. So when you think you've sinned so much you can't possibly be forgiven, look at my wounds and be forgiven. You see? So then they were incredulous for joy. This is too much. This can't be real. I mean, He says, well, look then, give me something to eat. He's got a totally transformed body. This is one of the things theologians have to work on. You know, how could he eat? You know, anyway. But he did. He loves them. He loves us. If it would help us grow in faith, he would come right here, right now, and eat a piece of fish right in front of us. Those guys had to be convinced, because they were all going to be martyred for this truth. And so, now he says, look, I told you all this. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Do you hear it? Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. Right? In the law, in the prophets, and the Psalms. The three divisions of the Bible, right? And then comes the specific grace of Easter. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's the grace. You see? And so then he says, and I'll sum it up for you, the whole of the Old Testament. You see, it is written that the Christ would suffer, he would rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. So they're mighty encouraged, but they're still scared. So they're still kind of hanging together, praying together, waiting to find out. Until Pentecost. And then, finally, the full potential of the resurrection is released in them. And Peter stands there, you know, he's a fisherman. Now he's in the big city, Jerusalem. And, you know, there's wind and fire and all the people are gathering together. And Peter the fisherman stands up and preaches. And 3,000 people were converted. It doesn't get that. That'll come later on in our text, I think. Or did we read that today? Well, no, this is a new one. You see, here's Peter now preaching to the crowd after the healing of the crippled man, you see? But anyway, do you feel the joy in these texts? Jesus is alive. He's here. He's just talked to us. Huh? The Vatican Council says that, you know, when the scriptures are read and preached, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. It's he who wants you to get this word this morning. Isn't that exciting? And now he's going to feed us on his own risen, glorious body and blood so that we have the very life of God incarnate in us. So let's stand